Thank you. Let us pray. Oh God, we thank you for the stories in the Bible, which are so interesting and inspiring. And at times we get different meanings and lessons from it each time we hear it. May all that we say and do be glorifying to you, oh God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. This past week, Marlou and I received news from the court about our traffic accident. If you remember, we were hit April 19th, and what followed was this long and drawn-out process. As you remember, because I was late on my insurance payment, we weren't covered, and we were denied coverage. So I made phone calls, and I tried to appeal to different people in my insurance company and wrote letters, and our request was denied time again. I called their insurance company to let them know I wasn't at fault, for them to investigate more fully, and they refused. So I wrote to the state of California and the Department of Insurance, and they wrote letters to the other insurance company, but in the end, they didn't help either. I wrote to the person who hit us, no answer. The other person's insurance company then referred the case to a creditor who was trying to collect almost $3,000 from us. I tried to talk to them and reason with them and show them pictures and documents, but they kept on relenting. So finally, we decided to go to small claims court. So we went to Glendale because the accident happened in Glendale. And when I got to court, they said, oh, we don't have small claims court here now. So I had to go to Alhambra. When I got there, I filled it out. And of course, if you've been in small claims court, you need to serve the person or notify them that when the date of the appointment was. So I was about to do that, and they said, oh, but you can't do that here in Alhambra. You have to go to Burbank. I was like chasing a wild goose. Finally, we're in Alhambra last week at the court date, and I took a lot of pictures, I drew a diagram, I went over my speech, and we finally got judgment. And finally the judge mailed it to us and said, okay, you, the defendant, which was the other person, need to pay the plaintiff in the amount of $2,000. So we received a favorable judgment, praise the Lord. I do want to give thanks for several of you who are asking, who are offering to help, who are praying for us about that. Now, if we just make sure that this person pays up, then we'll be okay. You know, we could have easily given up, and we could have said, you know, let's just pay the creditor, or let's not go to small claims court, even though it wasn't our fault and it wasn't right. But some of you, many of you said, be positive, be hopeful, tell the truth, and it will all work out, and it did. Persistence paid off. Today's scripture is about the blessing of being persistent, of chasing after the truth and after the persistence to tell the truth. Zacchaeus was a chief tax collector, and he worked for the Roman government. And what they did back then was they would assess a district. And in order for the tax collector to make money, they would have to overcharge people. And sometimes that got abusive or dishonest. But scripture says that Zacchaeus was rich, meaning that he was good at it. And he took advantage of people, obviously. And they used their power, their pressure, or whatever leverage they had to make profits. And so Zacchaeus was well off. And he was atop the heap. He was high on the food chain. And you would think that he was happy, that he had a lot of material things and had a high position and a lot of people under him. But something must have been missing. There was an emptiness, a void, some kind of hole in his soul. And as he saw the throngs of people going to see something that was happening, he didn't want to miss it. There was something exciting happening over there. There was something so captivating that the crowds were just gathering. It must have been of great importance. And whatever that was, Zacchaeus wanted what that was. except there were some problems, some obstacles. He was at a disadvantage. Even though he was a man of wealth and power and influence, he was short in stature. He must have tried to make his way past the people. He must have said, "Excuse me, I'm a tax collector, let me through." But the crowd was either uncooperative or there was just too much and he couldn't get by. He must have tried to make his way through all the bodies, but he couldn't break in. He couldn't get a view or a vantage point, so he thought, "What I'm going to do is sprint ahead. And I'm going to climb this sycamore tree," because he wasn't going to give up. He wasn't going to be denied. He wasn't going to be defeated. He was persistent. "I have to see what's going on, and I want to be a part of it." So he sprints ahead. And now I'm sure the chief tax collector is decked out in some pretty nice clothes and some pretty rich, fancy threads and some nice footwear. And I'm sure he has jewelry, and I'm sure he has rings and bling, and it's all sparkling from him. You can picture him sprinting in this, the way he's dressed, and climbing a tree. If you'd like, picture maybe Danny DeVito running all dressed up and up on a tree. Recently, Marlou and I went to the San Diego Zoo and we saw koalas and they were in the tree. Have you been there? Have you seen them? Hugging the tree. We saw monkeys in the trees. We saw other animals in the tree, but we didn't see people in trees. Nowhere do we see people in trees. Can you imagine me in my robe in a tree? Can you imagine seeing Bill in the tree? Or Mark? Well, maybe I can see Mark in the tree. Maybe we see people in the tree who are trimming them, or maybe people on top of telephone poles. It must have been quite a sight to see. People knew who the tax collector was, and when they saw Zacchaeus in the tree, they knew who he was. So Jesus was passing by, and Zacchaeus caught his eye, and Jesus must have thought, "Who is this man who is so persistent that he goes to the extreme of climbing a tree? Who is this man who went out on a limb, pardon the pun, but risked being a spectacle, being an embarrassment? Who is this man who is going to these great lengths?" Jesus must have known that Zacchaeus had some kind of curiosity, some desire, some hunger and persistence. Now, how did Jesus know his name? We don't know. Maybe someone told him along the way, or maybe someone called out, "Zacchaeus, what are you doing in the tree?" And maybe Jesus knew about his reputation. So Jesus calls him by name and says, "Come down. I want to fellowship with you. I want to go to your house." And Zacchaeus responds immediately, and he welcomes Jesus joyfully. Jesus sees the desire of his heart. And Jesus invites him to connect. Jesus invites him to commune with him, to spend time, quality time, face-to-face time, heart-to-heart talk at his house. In other words, to have this intimate, not in a sexual way, but spiritual intimacy together. And Jesus invites him to share his life with him, to share the promise of a whole different way of life, and to experience a blessing. Now, we know that the rest of the crowd were envious and jealous, and they mumbled and grumbled, and instead of smiling and rejoicing, they were probably frowning and complaining. Instead of being happy and mushy and say, "Oh, look at that," they felt agitated and irritated. Why did Jesus choose him and not us? Why did Jesus want to stay at his house and not at a rabbi's house or some respected synagogue leader? But that didn't stop Jesus, and that didn't stop Zacchaeus. He responded with joy. He welcomes Jesus joyfully, but not only that, he repents. What do we understand repentance to mean? A lot of us, repentance means, okay, I'm not going to do it again. If I cheat people, if I abuse people, if I use people, I'm not going to do it again. I repent. or the Greek word is metanoia, which means to go in a different direction that you're going. But in this scripture, Zacchaeus goes even farther than that. He makes restitution, and he adds compensation, and he goes beyond the requirement, the extra mile. Restitution and compensation wasn't out of obligation. He wasn't feeling guilty. He wasn't feeling pressured. He just, out of joy, said, well, I'm going to make up what I did wrong. Zacchaeus did have a soft heart after all. He wasn't cold and calculating and conniving after all. He does have a conscience after all. He is capable of changing after all. And how can he do this? Through Jesus, all things are possible. As Jesus says today, salvation has come into this household, for he too is a son of Abraham. Even before Jesus goes to his house, even before Zacchaeus pays restitution and pays back those he cheats, even before he reaches out to the poor, Jesus says, today salvation has come into your house. At what point was salvation received? Salvation occurred at that moment when Zacchaeus welcomed Jesus joyfully. And what is salvation? Well, salvation is not something that Zacchaeus could earn or manipulate or negotiate or place conditions upon, as in a contract. Salvation is a blessing that is received with a joyful and open heart. Salvation is a joyful state of mind and state of being where there's peace and contentment. Salvation is not in the present time, but it moves to the end of time. Salvation is not just trying to get to heaven, but as James Bryan Smith says, but getting heaven into that person. The kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, realized and actualized within. Salvation is about discovering a relationship with God where we enjoy God and we are easy on ourselves. In other words, we have the calm assurance and the certainty of joyful eternity. Salvation also means being part of the community and having the desire to be at peace with people, to make restitution, to make things right, to help the disadvantaged. And for Zacchaeus, it became a blessing. And Zacchaeus would experience firsthand the promise of life with Christ at that moment and into the next day and into the next week and beyond that. Ultimately, what Zacchaeus discovered was that he was missing a blessing in his life, and the blessing of living with Christ, the blessing which is available to you and to me as we share it with other people. Persistence leads to finding God's blessing. Even though we may receive what we don't expect, persistence leads to salvation too. So no need to fear, no need to grumble, no need to have envy, but persistence is a blessing to joy and then to peace. So we share the promise of life with Christ, and that's who we are. That's what we're about. That's our mission statement. Amen.